All right, so everything we do, we're trying to be givers. You know, there are givers and takers in the world, right? And we are a giving kind of church. So let's just review. We're always doing our check-ins and stuff like that. We're not even going to mention a bunch of that. So we planted trees, and we're going to give water just by checking in. So far, we've been to Tucson this summer. We've got Faith Hellman and Elijah Fowler. They're in Guatemala right now for yet another week, so continue to pray for them. Joshua, he has been to Panama this year. Ed is heading out to Alaska. And so we've got people all over the place. I'm missing something. We sent 1,500 books to Uganda for street kids and orphans to be able to have a reading program. So we're doing great things, and I'm excited about all the giving that we're doing. Hey, today we're going to be in the Bible. Shocking, we're always in the Bible. This is Joshua 6, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, the sixth book. So look on there, or if you're in your Bible app or on your phone, you can just Google in Joshua 6. It'll come right up, I promise you, and we encourage you to get on your phone. If you hear something that God tells you today, tweet it out, social media it out, let everybody know. If you need the flashlight on your phone to use, go ahead and do that. Just go ahead and use it. Put it on stun while you're there. That might be good so it doesn't ring out. But otherwise, use that thing, and we'd be glad for you to do that. So Joshua 6 today, we are finally at that spot that we've all been waiting for. That is the story that we, a lot of people know about this, where Joshua leads the people and they knock down the walls of Jericho. Do you remember this story? What's cool is if you don't remember it, we're going to teach it to you today. It's really awesome. So they are taking hundreds of thousands of people, Israelites, and they're going into this land that God told them to go, this promised land. And Joshua's leading, Moses is dead, and they come to the very first thing, right smack dab in their way, is this large, for that time, city of Jericho. Fortified, strong, big army, big bad to the bone army, tough place. And they have to go there. This is the first stop, and it's also going to be the biggest and the most difficult battle that they're going to have to encounter. And so they're coming across one of their biggest challenges right off the bat. They've just crossed over the river. God pushed water back for them to be able to do that. And here they are, remembering what God has done for their nation, for their people, for their parents and their grandparents, and for them. And they're walking, and they're getting ready to take this land. But the first thing in their way is the biggest thing in their way. Do you have a big thing today that you're dealing with? Do you have a big thing that you're facing right now? Do you have a big thing that's staring you right in the face? Well, I've got good news for you. God can help you face that big challenge. I've got bad news for you. If you answered that question, you said, no, not really. You're either in a crisis, you've just come out of a crisis, or guess what? You're about to go into a crisis, because that's how the world works. And challenges come your way, and God is with you. So we're going to look today here at Joshua, the sixth chapter. There's a little background in the fifth chapter as well, but we're going to start here at Joshua 6. So look on with me here, and as you face your challenges, we're going to see how big God is. We say it often, don't we? Quit telling God how big your problems are. Start telling your problems how big your God is, and we're going to see an example of that today. Now, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in, and no one went out, and no one came in. So they locked the place down. You ever been locked down? You ever been locked down on post? Nobody's getting out. Whenever they do that on post, with shooting, or unfortunately, we have them from time to time. They lock that in. I always think about the elementary school teachers. It's like the kids are locked down, and these school teachers have to hang on to these kids. And that's the kind of experience that the people in Jericho are having. Everything is locked down. They are terrified of these Israelites because of the reputation that they've gotten. Not because they were a great army, but because God was behind them. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, look it. I've delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king, and its fighting men. March around the city with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days." And Joshua's like, "I was hanging with you there until then. What are we talking about? Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Have 7 priests carry the trumpets in front of it, and you order the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." So here they are, and they have their biggest challenge, and they're ready. You ever get this? You see your challenge, and you're ready to go fight it, and you're ready to go deal with it, and then God tells you to kind of chill for 6 days. I mean, just kind of pray around it. When after Jesus had ascended to heaven, the first thing he told his guys, his disciples, "Hey, go hang out in Jerusalem for 8 days and do nothing but pray." We act like it's not anything to pray and wait on God and to get ourselves prepared. We're ready to just barge right in and get after it and do it. And God often says to wait. Or have you ever had your challenge ahead of you and you're ready to go take it on and you see it right in front of you and you say, "All right, it's really gotten desperate, God. I guess I need to pray to you about it." And you start to talk to the Lord, tell him about your problem, and immediately it seems you've prayed and it gets worse. You ever noticed that? It gets harder. You're like, "Lord, when are you going to show up for the program? I mean, I just prayed for this and now it's worse. I just prayed to be healed. Now everybody's sicker. The whole house is sick. This is not better," you know? We pray and it's like all of a sudden the challenge gets worse. We pray, "Lord, we pray for this coworker," and we show up the next day and they haven't had their coffee and it's not good, you know? We pray for our husband and wife, "Lord, help his attitude," and the mower breaks down immediately and he's not in a good mood. Not that I've had that experience, mind you, just don't even get me started. I don't even bother with weed eaters, all right? Anyway, have you had that happen? This is what these guys are. We've got this challenge ahead of us, and now we're being asked to do these. And why does God do that? Why does God let that happen? Here's one reason, I think, from what we're seeing here. To be able to see the scope of God's power. See, what will happen is we see our challenge. "All right, God, I'm going to pray for it. We're going to do this." And then we go and we charge in and God does it for us or he works for us. But we have that little part of us that says, "Thank you, Lord, appreciate it. But really, I did all the grunt work." You know, we kind of put it in there. God lets it get worse sometimes so that we can even drop more of our pride and he can say, "See what I'm going to do," and lets us get completely out of the way and let him do his work so we can see the scope of his power to show you how insurmountable this thing is. He lets it get worse. And he asks us a lot of times to do the hardest things first to get the traction to go. There's an old business story about eating a frog. You ever heard this? You have a list of things to do, and that one of them is to eat a frog. This is not real, but you know, one of them is to eat a frog. And you don't want to eat the frog because it's the hardest thing you're going to have to do. And so you put it off and you put it off and you procrastinate. I used to be an amateur procrastinator, but got so good at it, I just became pro. I'm a procrastinator now. And so we have this frog, and he's on our desk. And what does he do? He croaks at us all day long, drives us crazy. And the point of it is, wouldn't it just have been better to suck it up and eat the frog to begin with so you can get it over with, right? So the hardest thing, the most difficult thing is right in front of them. Whoever controls Jericho controls all of the trade routes. Whoever controls Jericho controls all of the paths of that world. And whoever doesn't control Jericho is under subjection and under whatever whoever does control Jericho wants to do. So God says, you've got to have this. You've got to have this access. But it's the hardest thing. It's the most difficult thing. And why does God make it even more difficult, or let it get more difficult and test us like that? To give you an opportunity to trust. To give you an opportunity to obey. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? Will you trust me with your kids? Will you trust me with your marriage? Will you trust me with your finances? Will you trust me with your job? Will you trust me with my church? Will you trust me? That's God's question to us all the time. Will you step in faith with me? Will you walk with me? Will you go with me? It gives us an opportunity to obey. And our obedience is, well, it's a way to show our love. We show our love to God. What does Jesus say? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I love you, honey. I'm going out with the guys tonight and tomorrow night and the next night and the next night. Why won't you spend time with me? Oh, I will. I love you, honey. Do you? Does she feel the love, guys? You know what I'm saying? If you love me, you do what I ask you to do. It's like the guy that said, you know what, ladies, you don't have to nag us about doing this stuff. It'll get done in the next 6 months. Just, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you love me, you'll do. Love always acts, doesn't it? You can't just say I love. And we do. Oh, I love you. That means we got an emotional thingy going on. I love you. What have you done for me lately? That's what the girls ask. Do you love me? Will you? What are you doing? What are you doing? Do you love me? Will you obey me? Do you love me? Oh, I love you, God. I love you, Lord. I lift my voice to worship you, sing a song. Woo! I love you, Lord. All right, trust me in this. No, Lord. Really? Yeah, trust me. Obey me here. That's not the way we roll. That's the way we roll, Lord. I guess that's the way we roll. And that's the question. Will you trust me? If God asks you to walk around the place 6 times, and then the 7th time he's going to get walking around it 6 times. God says delay until I give it to you. It's a delay. It doesn't mean a denial. It means a delay. Trust me. Will you obey me? Do you really love me? Will you do what I ask you to do? That's not how I've done it before, God. That's not how I learned to do it. That's not what the world... And in fact, if I do this the way that you say, it's going to cause me some major relational issues. It's going to cause me some problems in this world because nobody thinks like that. And everybody thinks that's weird. Do you trust? Here's the thing about God's word. This is very important. I'm going to say a lot of things today. This is really probably the most important. The Bible says this. Heaven, that means the sky and everything. Earth, that means what you're standing on or sitting on. All of that will pass away. But what doesn't pass away? My word will not pass away. When it's all said and done, the earth, the sky, everything you see is gone, including our awesome bods. They're gone. They're not going to stick around. They're decaying. I don't know if you noticed, you're getting older. Some of you are aging better than others. I mean, it's just, when you're growing up, you want your hair to go in weird places because the girls think it's cute, and then you get older, and then your hair goes in weird places, and you're like trying to find all kinds of little hair trimmers to get it off your ears and your face, everywhere, right? We're getting older. We're decaying. But what does not go away? God's word. And that is the ultimate test. It is eternal life. It is God and eternity that matters. The test is now. What are you going to do? Are you going to live for now and what feels good now, or what is pleasurable now, or what is easy now, or the way the world works now, or are you going to go with God and his eternal word? All this is going away. God's words are not passing away. I'm talking about these. So if it says it in here, it's true. If it says it in here, it's true. And you can trust it. And even if it feels weird or not what you thought or not what the world thinks or not what is popular, it is still the truth. All right? Will you obey me? And then we press on. All right, let's look at verses 8 through 14 here. When we're facing our challenges, we're going to press on. Verse 8. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, "Do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp, spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning. Priests took the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord, blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them. The rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. You see this? They're repeating. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. I'm praying for a miracle. I'm praying for God to show up. Where is he? God's delays are not God's denials. Keep marching. Keep going. Keep pressing on. It's 6 days. This was not a huge city by our standards. By their standards, it was large. It was a half a mile around. And I can imagine you're marching half a mile around. These are warriors. These guys are ready to fight. And they're like, march around, do a ruck march for half a mile. Seriously? Blowing trumpets and stuff? That's just weird. When are we going to get onto the fight? And the point was, God was saying, you're going to do it my way so that you can see that it's my hand that is involved with this. I am going to fight for you. You're striving. We do this, guys. We're striving. We're efforting. We're trying with all our heart. And God is waiting for us to surrender it to him. God is waiting for us to turn it over to him. And then when we do, we turn it over to him, and we expect to have our prayers like microwave. Boom, over, quickly. 30 seconds, answer this, Lord. Now, God is answering it. God, I don't want to cough in your ears there. God, as soon as your prayer goes up to heaven, begins to work and begins to move on your behalf. He's moving heaven and earth for you. But what you don't see is heaven and earth moving. Hold on. I'm going to cough again. You all right? I sang yesterday at a funeral. Man, I'd rather preach 3 hours than sing three minutes. I'm telling you. It just messed me up. All right. So here God is saying, this is not a denial. This is a delay. I want to show you how to trust me. Now, part of the reason God does that is because he's got to work in us. We're like, we're ready to go to the fight. But we think we're ready. But God's like, you're not prepared. I need to work in you before I can work through you. So you trust in me. That's why I was saying, talk to the Lord every day in prayer. Go to the Word every day. Habitually, just go. March, walk, press on, keep going, keep praying, keep believing, keep trusting, keep obeying what God has said. And then he will fight for you. All this striving and effort. Oh, I'm going to do it. God, do it with me. God's like, I'm going to do it for you. Just work with me. Just walk with me. And you got to be confident in God's promises. Look here in Joshua 6, we're going to start with 15. The seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. So once for 6 days, the seventh day, they marched around seven full times. They circled it seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Did you hear what he didn't say? Shout, for the Lord is going to give you the city. He didn't say that. He said, shout, the Lord has already given you the city. This was done when you obeyed. This was done when you did what the Lord said. The Lord is going to do this for you. And then they promised that Rahab the prostitute wouldn't be. So look in verse 20, wouldn't be harmed. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. At the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with a sword every living thing in it. Men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. They left nothing. And in fact, you can look on here, they burned the whole city. And Joshua said, this city is cursed, and anybody who tries to rebuild it will fail to do so. Now, there is a Jericho in that area right now, but it is not in the place where this Jericho was. It still hasn't been rebuilt. To this day, it is gone, wiped out, done. Because they stood in the way of the Lord. They stood against the Lord. And some people, man, it's kind of harsh. God had given them plenty of opportunities to follow him. They followed their own gods. They did their own thing for hundreds and hundreds of years. And now God is saying, I'm going to send you to this land I have promised, and everything is going to be removed. You've got to be confident in God's promise. The Lord has given us the city. Look at it. Listen. You look at your marriage. You look at your kids, your money, your relationship with God. A lot of times we look and we look back. There's a people growing up. Now, I grew up in a very Southern Baptist church. That's where I get my cool accent because I grew up in the South. And every week we'd have the altar call. Remember the altar call? We're not going to do that to you today, by the way. You're not going to have to come down to the front. They're cool. They're awesome. And God has met me in altar calls many times. Or they would call it the invitation. You're invited to come down. And sometimes people would come down every few weeks and they would get resaved. who get saved again. Because they had started following Christ, and then they'd faltered. And they had messed up. They had actually sinned. We all do that. But it was better and easier for them to say, I'm going to start over completely. And people are like, oh, I'm just too far gone. I can't start over. I'm just too far gone. I can't go again. Listen, I'm just too old. It's too late for me. Baloney fish. It is not too late for you. It is not too late for anybody. Well, I've already screwed this up. My life. You know, I'm having a bad hair life. I just can't do it. It's too late for me. That's pride. You're just going to do whatever you want to do. This is an excuse. It's too late for me. It is not too late for you to follow the Lord. Well, our marriage, it's just too far gone. It's just completely done. Well, we can't walk to, you know, we want to get this thing worked out, but there's just too much water under the bridge. Baloney fish. If both of you are willing and ready, keep walking. Start walking. Keep walking. My kids, man, I should have trained them up the way I should have to begin with. Okay, you should have. I'm with you. Say, I'm sorry, Lord. Repent. Get over it. Don't keep going the way you're going. Start to follow the Lord. Start to lead your kids. Start walking. Keep walking. You know, my money. It's just too, we're just so far into debt, we'll never get out of it. We just haven't done right. Start walking. Keep walking. Are you seeing a pattern here? Start walking. Keep walking. Start following. Keep following. Know God today, walk with Him tomorrow. Know Him this moment, walk with Him in an hour. Know Him now. Start walking, keep walking. It's not that it's going to be easy. And yeah, sure, it would have been easier for all of us to, you know, when we were like 3 years old, say, God, I'm sorry I stole my toy from my friend. I repent of my sin, and I want to follow you for the rest of my life. And from then on, we followed him for the rest of our life. But that's not most of our stories in here at all. Right? Wouldn't it have been great? Nobody has that story, guys. Start walking now. Keep walking. Trust. Obey now. Believe now. Keep going. Watch what the Lord will do. He will fight for you if you trust Him, if you believe Him, if you walk with Him. I'm not saying it's easy. And yes, the consequences of our bad and stupid choices haunt us for a good long while. But we let those things keep us in the past, and God is saying, trust me, I want to get you past your past, and we're going to walk, and you'll be changed, and the people around you will see me, and you'll see what I can do for you, and what I can do in you. Trust me, obey me, believe me, walk with me, start walking, keep on walking. Sounds easy. It's simple. It's not easy. You got to drop the pride. You got to drop the street smarts. And you got to say, God, I trust in your word. I trust in your words. They don't pass away. They never expire like you and I do. And you can count on them because they're the very words of God. Start walking in them. Keep walking. Let's do this. Let's pray. And I invite you to begin walking with Jesus. If you've never received him, it is a gift. You cannot do this for yourselves. It's a gift to receive from Jesus. You pray a simple prayer. You're changing your mind. You're turning away from yourself and your sin, and you're turning to him. And he's going to make you righteous. Not because you are, but because he's going to make you what he is, perfect. You're going to mess up. Later on, you walk with him. As best you know, you give all you have right now, just yourself, to him. Surrender is the word, guys. Pray a prayer like this. Lord, I believe I need you. And Jesus, I do believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. So I'm going to ask you now to be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord. I want to follow you. And I just give myself right now to you. Send your Holy Spirit to live inside of me so that I can follow you well. And I trust you, and I believe in you, and I thank you for saving me. And now, Lord, as we go from this place, as we walk out of this room, away from your people and away from your body into the world, we go as your people, and we ask, Lord, as we go, remind us, pull us, draw us, push us to trust you, to believe you, to have faith in you. And we commit ourselves right now to following you now with everything that we have, trusting everything that is ours and we perceive to be ours. It's all yours. We surrender it to you and we trust you with it, even our very lives. And we ask, Lord, as you lead and you guide, that we would believe and that we would follow. Now we start walking with you and just keep walking on through. You are faithful, Lord. You are always faithful. And your word is always true, and your promises are always kept. So we praise you and we honor you as we follow you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you're on that end, we're